Welcome to Crossroads. It is good to be in the house of our Lord. We believe it's no accident anyone is here. God has called us here today, and he calls us to worship him. Will you please rise for our call to worship? Shouts of joy, songs of praise, sounds of hope and love. These are moments of thanksgiving to our God. Enter God's house giving thanks. Enter God's house full of praise. These are moments of thanksgiving to our God. God's love is never ending. God is good. Alleluia.
Our spirits dance before you today. You have created this wondrous universe and all the magnificent things within it. You have blessed us with so much throughout our lives, even to this day of praise and thanksgiving. Let our spirits soar. Let our hearts sing boldly of your wondrous love. We celebrate your love and presence with us, and it is in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, that we offer this prayer. Amen.
In. And we want to get to know you. If you have questions, you can talk to me or to one of the other elders who are greeting the doors afterwards. So we are here And I welcome you, but even more important, God welcomes you with these words from Scripture. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Then let's turn to one another and greet each other, greet our neighbors.
Facing trials, when our life is turned upside down, it's easy to turn to God. But when things are going well, pride sneaks in, and we start to take credit for the good in our lives. Our prayer through this next song is that in both the highs and the lows, we will remember that all things work together for those who love God, who have been called according to His purposes, and that our dependence is on God. Lord, I need you.
Lord, I confess, coming here, I find my rest. Without you, I call upon, you're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you all. that stand upon you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, now I need you.
For confession and assurance of sin this morning, we're jumping ahead a little bit into our scripture reading from Psalm 19. There the psalm writer says, "Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults." And think about that just a moment. What kind of sins might we be guilty of that we don't even recognize? What sort of hidden faults might the Lord see in us? And then the psalm writer adds to that, "Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins." Those would be the sins we are well aware of and just do them anyway. And so we pray for the Holy Spirit to open the way to forgiveness. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, give us that clear vision of our hearts to see what's really there. Help us to discern our thoughts, our words plainly, and hear the prayers that we now offer silently and individually. And forgive our sins, we pray, for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. And with the psalmist, we pray, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Then we invite the children to follow the flag for children in worship, for children who are 3 years old and on up through preschool. Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 19. It's so all about declaring God's glory. Now, we have a book that we call the Bible, and it reveals God to us. But the Belgic Confession calls the creation also a book, a beautiful book. And in this beautiful book, it says, "All creatures, great and small, are letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God." Now, Psalm 19 combines both of those books into one to help us praise God. The Bible teaches us to sing creation's song. Listen to Psalm 19. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs his course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the ends of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Last year, Barb and I took a trip to the Canadian Rockies and to Banff and Jasper National Parks. Now, we've been to the mountains many times before, but on that trip, we were impressed all over again with the wonders God has created. We were caught up by the immensity of these mountains just stretching for miles and miles along the road. Lakes and rivers there are a beautiful emerald green from the water running off the glaciers. Waterfalls gush through the rocks and over the cliffs at almost every turn of the road. Bears, elk, bighorn sheep posed graciously for us, including the mother bear with her mother black bear with her two cubs and the grizzly that ran right past our car. And everywhere is the sky. Sometimes bright and blue, sometimes dripping snowflakes on us along the highway. And perhaps that's why in this psalm David points to the sky. The mountains are an impressive display of God's glory, but you don't even need to travel to see God's glory on display. Just look up at the sky. The sun, the moon, the myriad stars. Look at the puffy clouds. Look at the rain clouds. And you see, God creates that morning sky to sing to us. There's a hymn that begins this way. When morning gilds the skies, my heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. You know, depending on how early you get up in the morning, you might see that first glimmer of light, and then the red glow spreads across the horizon until you see the whole sky lit up. Dark shadows become trees, and in season the flowers give reason to praise the Lord. Now, maybe some mornings we're feeling pretty blind to the wonders of God's creation and deaf to the chirp of the morning birds, who remind us of their creator. And that may happen simply because it's an effort to face the day. Maybe we're only thinking about the impossible amount of work we have to do. It could be we're anxious about someone or our own health, decisions we have to face that day. Whether it's self-pity or maybe just being preoccupied, it's easy to ignore God's revelation in his creation. And yet, hopefully, there are many mornings where we can find a moment to glance out the window, out the car window, look up as we cross the yard and say, glory to God. Because it's not just our eyes and our minds that need to wake up. Our hearts need to wake up to the beauty of God as well. That's God's intention of a beautiful sunrise. Eye-catching cloud formations, sweet and raucous bird sounds, snowflakes blanketing the ground with white, and the wonder of growing things. He wants to instigate in us a song of praise. And so we praise him for his creation, as well as the way he reaches out to his fallen creation in Jesus Christ. So as we think about Psalm 19, I invite you to think about a song. At least that's the thought it brings to my mind. It starts out, "The heavens declare the glory of God." It doesn't, of course, start out saying, "The heavens sing the glory of God." But if you've read C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, there is one story in there in which he describes creation as a beautiful and varied song that with each rise and each crescendo, a new part of God's creation appears. This image helps me see how the beauty of creation carries us into a song of praise. The inspired poet puts his words together in Psalm 19 in such a way that the creation is like a tremendous choir bombarding us with its music of wonder and joy. When I think of creation, I think of the song we sang this morning. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. Because creation is really like a ringing, repeating song of praise to God. So we want to open our hearts to the song of creation. It's the song of praise all over the skies. You know, if a songwriter does his work properly, the words and the music blend together to be more moving than either words and or music alone. So God's creation is like that beautiful song. It all blends together into a beautiful song that sings glory to God. Now, of course, that song does fly right past many people in our world. They don't hear the song at all. At least they don't recognize the praise angle to it. But that's why Psalm 19 is here. It's a reminder for God's people. And maybe some unbelievers will get a little inkling for what God's praise is as well. The creation calls us to sing glory to God. Of course, we have only one stanza of the song here. There is so much beauty that this psalm doesn't touch on that creates other praise in our hearts. Add to this the mountains, the trees, the lakes, the rivers, the flowers, and so much more. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. You know, and this is the way Hebrew poetry works. It says something and then says the same thing in different words. The skies, the planets, the stars are an eloquent witness to how glorious God is. And Paul writes in Romans 1 that God's power and divine nature are revealed in the things he has made. So as sun and moon make their passage through the sky night after day, day after night, they keep up a kind of endless song of praise. And they pass on the song from one day to another. The heavens sing God's praise with silent eloquence, the psalmist says. We're not hearing voices speak words, he says. But still, the song peals out a strong note of praise and reverberates with an echo of God's own voice. The sun makes its passage through the heavens, and he compares this to the joyful march of the bridegroom who leaves his home and with the joy and anticipation of meeting his bride. Or the sun can be like that champion runner who comes out of his tent and he's feeling like, this is my day. No one can escape the sun, he says. Wherever we go on this planet, the sun seeks us out. And if the sun sings glory to God, no one on this planet can avoid that song. Never has there been a day when the ringing music of the spheres cannot be heard. Makes us think of Jesus, who, as John says in the beginning of his gospel, nothing was made without him. You see, this song of creation is intended to move us, to stir us deeply in our hearts, to reinforce our allegiance to God. But that doesn't always happen, of course. The psalmist knew entire nations who worshipped the sun instead of the sun's creator. They were impressed with the power of the skies to create light and to bring rain and dew. The sun was powerful to bring light and life. And many people today still study the stars, thinking that somehow these things rule our lives. The real message doesn't sink in. But God's people see creation and we respond. What a great God who made all of this. And yet that's not enough. The sky and the sun declare and proclaim. They speak to us. They shout and they sing God's glory. And hopefully all creation, us included, joins in that song. That's the point where this psalm impacts our lives. It's not just a beautiful picture to ooh and ah over. Our listening to God also impels us to sing glory to God. And admittedly, we don't always sing very clearly. We learn from the Word of God that people naturally do not give God the glory. We'd rather boast on ourselves. We'd like to have people look up to us. And we've been blinded by sin so that without help, we won't give glory to God at all. We need something else. And that's where the psalm goes next. In fact, there's such a dramatic shift here in the psalm from the pictures of creation to the Word of God that some people have said this must have been two psalms that were accidentally joined together sometime. But there's no reason to suppose such a thing. David did this intentionally. There is a very good reason why we make this kind of transition in the psalm. The law of God is calling you and me to join in the chorus of creation's song. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, the law here means far more than just 10 commandments. You see, God speaks to us with authority about everything in life. He calls us to be his covenant partners, and we give him ourselves. His will comes to bear on us to create obedience, trust, and reverence. You get the picture now? Obedience, trust, and reverence are ways that we praise God, the way we echo creation's song. In daily thoughts and actions, we glorify God. So in our sinful world, we need the law of God to teach us to echo creation's glorious song. It begins to happen when Jesus enters our hearts. He washes us clean. He teaches us to really love God. And now this life-changing law of God is the perfect guide for us. It's trustworthy. It's right. It's pure. There is no other place for us to turn than to God's law. His word is the best, most trustworthy guide to the kind of life we must live. It's the clear light of God's word that shows us truly how glorious God is and how much he deserves to have us sing to his glory. And now, by singing here, I simply mean that we live out our lives in a way that brings God glory rather than disrespect. Sweeter than honey, more precious than gold, says David. That is, it's not a drudgery to live by God's law and sing glory to God. Story is told when a Jewish boy was learning his alphabet, his teacher might offer him a reward. He would write the letters on his slate with honey. And if the boy could identify the letters correctly, he could lick up the honey. For him, learning was as sweet as honey. But God's law, God's commands are sweeter than honey and more precious even than gold. And with the price of gold nowadays, could we confess that? And so the Apostle Paul counsels us, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. In keeping God's law, that is, in living according to his word, there is great reward. The way of life God plans for us is refreshing. God doesn't beat us down with his word. He simply wants to make us wise to his ways. And so we become aware of the devil's strategies. We become wise to his wily ways by reading the word. And we live by the word because it's a joy. It's satisfying. Psalm 119 drives the same point home. The longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, all extolling the value of God's word for our lives. And there is no better way for us to learn to sing this song, Glory to God, on key than by listening to and keeping God's law. Then living will be a prize when we do his will and sing for his glory. Creation sings, and the law, that is the Bible, calls us to join in that chorus in our daily living. Jesus says it this way, "Let the light of your obedience shine in such a way that people around you will glorify your Father in heaven." And then there's this matter of getting ready to sing, being prepared. Who can discern his errors, forgive my hidden faults? And we, along with the psalmist, realize that there are hidden sins in our lives that we need to clear out. There are sins that are so characteristic of us that we don't even recognize them. We may well be hurting someone with our words, but we don't notice. We could be feeding our lust or greed, but don't even recognize it. So here we confess we need this kind of help in singing glory to God. That's true even when we don't see our need for help. And if that's true of those hidden sins, then certainly the willful sins also call for repentance. To know something is wrong and do it anyway mars this song of glory to God. And thankfully, repentance is open to us in Jesus Christ. The psalmist's goal, and we share that, is to be innocent of great transgression. To be disloyal to God is the worst thing David can imagine. Is it for us? Disloyalty makes it impossible for us to sing the song clearly. At the very least, we're going to sing off key. When others cannot see our loyalty to God, we have dishonored God. And so by his Spirit, Jesus gives us new gifts to live God-honoring lives. He doesn't make it easy, but now the way of possibility is open to us. And then our lives will be dedicated in every part to God's glory. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's what Paul writes about in Romans 12. We present our bodies as living sacrifices of praise to God. And only people who have been saved in Jesus Christ can do that. And again, Paul tells us we are being remade in God's likeness so that when people look at us and they see the righteousness and the holiness that we are kind of stumbling through, they get a little picture of what God is like. We reflect God's glory in our righteousness and holiness. And so the glorious song of creation echoes in our hearts. There's a hymn that's based on Psalm 19 that covers this glorious song of creation. And the last couple lines conclude, "So let my whole behavior, thoughts, words, and actions be one ceaseless song to thee." Repentance, loyalty, daily dedication, they all lead us to respond to God's word, the Bible, to sing the glorious creation chorus of glory to God. And when Jesus changes our hearts, we will want to sing that song. We will want to glorify God, even in the meditations of our hearts. And in the words we speak, we yearn for God to be praised. Is that where God's law draws you? Now, for some people, probably the law seems like a song of drudgery and endless toil. But for those who know Jesus the Savior, this law is simply a harmony with creation's song of glory to God. Let's pray together. Help us to sing, Lord, to sing the glories of you, our Savior and Creator. May your word sink deep into our hearts to create that response. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's bring our offerings now to the Lord. Brandon and Ashley Wilson with us. We're grateful for their work at the University of Connecticut, and we're going to invite them to come forward and to share a little bit now, and then during the Sunday school hour, they're going to be sharing some more in the fireside room. So.
Hey, okay. So I might have just broken everything by picking my own mic, but I did it anyways. Hi, I'm Brandon Wilson. This is my wife, Ashley. I know many of you, and many of you know me. It was a year ago or thereabouts that many of us gathered over here in this corner, and you prayed for us and sent us to the University of Connecticut to pioneer a new Navigator ministry. And when we went that first semester, we spent a lot of our time praying on campus, meeting with other ministry leaders. So there are four other Protestant Christian ministries there. And what we really wanted to do was understand what God was up to there, what other ministries were doing, what they were seeing, what they were trying, what was effective and what wasn't. And what we learned was that very little was happening. So 0.6, so less than 1%, 0.6% of the student body was engaged in any Christian ministry. And as we interacted with those other Christian ministries, none of them were engaged in outreach, like evangelism and outreach on campus, which was kind of baffling to me. Even the ministries that are like known for that, if you see this ministry's name, you think, oh, they do evangelism. And they said, well, we kind of haven't done that the last 4 or 5 years because it just doesn't work here anymore. And so they had given up on the gospel being powerful enough for the people of Connecticut. And so what they were doing were just collecting all of the church students, which is not a bad thing to do, I guess. And so we got there, and we learned these things. And another big piece of the... I'm also getting over a cold, so I probably won't shake your hand. I'm sorry about that. Also, I'm sorry about whoever mic this is. My brain. Anyways, so churches. There aren't churches near to campus. There are a few, but they're not Bible-believing churches. And I can explain more of that later, but there are no freshmen. Freshmen and sophomores can't have cars, and there are no churches within walking distance that preach and believe the Bible. And so it is just a desolate place in terms of spiritual ability. And one of the verses that we think about when we thought about the spiritual reality of what we were coming into is Isaiah 43, 17 and 18. And in there, God says, "Do not remember the former things of old, and do not consider the times in the past. Behold, I am doing a new thing. I'll make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert."
Yeah. Is this on? Okay. So, yeah, we kind of stepped into that and have just gotten to watch God do his thing. And it's, I mean, we're cool people if you've met us. That's a little bit of it, but really, like, God is doing his thing. We walked onto campus and started trying to talk to students. We did spiritual interest surveys, and people at first didn't want to talk to us. We probably had 5 or 6 people stop in the entire first time we were out on campus.
With 300 walking past.
Yeah, at least. And so we're kind of standing in front of, like, their dining center. So, like, batches of people are going in and out, and everyone was just like, and so we just were praying and thinking and, like, asking God to do things. And actually our dog was what unlocked people wanting to talk to us. And so we feel like God has just prepared this place for us in a lot of ways. And so, one, we got a dog, which I never thought would ever happen in my entire life. And we've stepped onto campus and we have 3 Bible studies happening. And I would say probably at least half of them have never gone to church, have no spiritual background at all. Their parents don't go. They've never opened a Bible before coming to college. Most of them don't even have a Bible still at this point. And God has just really prepared even our neighborhood that we moved into. Like, the people on our street have no idea what to do with us in our life. And so they've just been really curious and getting to know us. And I can just see the ways that God is already softening their heart to himself and to the gospel, because we're really good friends with them. And we try to see them at least a couple times a week. And our church body, like, he has been growing this church, I feel like, honestly, for us, which seems crazy, but I feel like we've just stepped into an environment that is really healthy, and it has people our age, and that is just pretty unheard of in the Northeast. And so I feel like God is just already moving and doing things, and we have just stepped into it. And yes, it takes courage on our part and faith on our part to do what he's asking us to do, but God is just at work. We have about 25 students who are with us. Pretty faithfully. They respond to our text messages, which is a big plus. They show up to Bible study, some of them with it done. And they just want to know what the Bible has to say, because no one in their life have they ever seen care about the Bible, care about what God has to say about their life. And so we've just gotten to start walking with these students into that, and a lot of them through pain, and some of them are, college is already hitting them in the face, so that's a good time, but...
So we counted up yesterday, and there are 22 students involved that we would love to tell you each of their stories and what God's doing in their life and how he's drawing them to himself. We've had 2 students trust Christ in the last 2 weeks, and it's just incredible the things that God is doing. And we could tell you story after story, but that's what the next hour is for. But what we want to let you know is that we have lots of stories to tell, and we would love to share with you more of what God's doing and answer your questions. So during the Sunday school time, we're going to be in the fireside room, and we would love to see you there and answer whatever questions you have. And I think that is about all the time we have. Thank you guys so much for partnering with us and seeing the gospel move at UConn.
And we thank you for being kind of an arm of our ministry, and we feel we have a part in that, and it's good to hear the report and the good news of what's happening there. Let's turn to God in prayer. Our great God, we look around us every day the skies not only, but all kinds of other things too, declare to us the glory of your holy name. We sit back and we marvel at what you have created and in the universe around us, in our own bodies, and the spirit that you've given to us. Life is ours to enjoy, and day after day, everywhere we turn, we see signs of the greatness of your glory and your beauty. Give us those eyes, Lord, even on some of our dull days, to see that there is so much beauty and wonder around us. And may it inspire us to be those singers of praise. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us, for changing our hearts so that we can see you in the creation around us. We thank you for your gift in Jesus Christ that washes away our sins, that opens our eyes to new realities and gives us hope and peace. We pray, Lord, for various needs of people that we know. We pray in a particular way for Glenn, Darlene Summers, as Glenn is back in the hospital again. We pray that you will be close beside them as they try to diagnose what's going on. And we pray that Glenn and Darlene may feel the closeness of your love. We pray for the Petersons, Lord, now facing this cancer in Winnie's body, the fears that brings, the struggles that they must go through. We pray that you will comfort them. We want to pray for Kayla and her family as they see the cancer progressing in her grandfather. We thank you, Lord, for the strong testimony of faith there that upholds them, and we pray that you will walk beside them through these times. And there are many others, Lord. Some needs we know, others we don't even know. Some of us here are struggling silently under various burdens, and we lift all of these up to you, Lord, knowing that you understand. Your heart is open to our struggles and our needs. We pray that you will meet us in all of our hidden cares and fears. Lord, we thank you for our missionaries who go out in far and distant places to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we want to pray in a special way for Brandon and Ashley, with thanks that you have planted them in a place that is ripe for the gospel. A place where there are so many students who know so little and need to know the way of life. Thank you, Lord, for the little bit we've already heard about changes that are happening in the students' lives. And we pray that your word and spirit may continue to awaken faith and create people who are freshly aware of your glory, who learn to commit their lives to you in a way that echoes creation's song. We pray, Lord, for that glory to shine in our world, especially in your church as it grows throughout the world. May the name of Jesus be glorified all over in all the different places and corners of this world. And may that song of creation echo in our individual and communal lives this week. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Announcements. I know there's at least one, so let's move to that next. Yep. I think it's up on the podium here.
Good morning, church family. I want to tell everybody about the church caroling next Sunday. All church caroling, not just some church caroling. 3:30 will start out at the Summers. And if anything changes, we will let you know email-wise. But we're planning to go out to Glenn and Darlene's at 3:30. 4:15 at Ruth Tibbles, and 5 o'clock at Joan Rarekirk's. But Joan called me last night and said she wasn't going to be there, but she still wants us to come because all the other people want to hear everybody sing there. So if you have any questions, I was going to say you can sign up, but you know what? Most of you don't sign up. Just come anyway, okay? And then what was the other thing? I think that's it for now. Dale and Eileen are going to be the leaders of the group, and so if you have any questions, you can contact them. I will not be there, but I know you all will be, so please come.
I just wanted to remind everybody about the changes in Sunday school for the next 3 weeks. We're taking a break from our regular curriculum. The adults will still meet in the fireside room. The Wilsons are going to talk this week. And then the next 2 weeks after that, they're going to be discussing the new ESV Bibles. For the rest of the kids, the 3- and 4-year-olds will still meet in their room and do pretty much their normal thing. This week, kindergarten through junior high, we're going to meet down in the classrooms down here on the northwest side. Next week, we may move into the sanctuary here, but for now, this week, we're going to meet down there. So kindergarten through junior high. Northwest classrooms. We will aim to be done by 11:30 these 3 weeks, but especially the little kids will be done then. The older kids may spill over a little bit, so be patient with us again.
Just want to give a little heads up about an offering coming up in case you're doing some planning about your giving. But on December 8th, we're going to take a second offering for that morning for the Liberian Ivory Coast Church Rebuilding Ministry. And I want to say we are all very grateful for being involved in this ministry, and we're so thankful for the generous support of it. I'll give a report next week with some pictures in announcing the offering for December 8th. But for today, just know that there'll be that second offering. And, we have completed recently the church in Clown and Nezobli. And there's two more churches to help rebuild or remodel. And that's in Tulu City and Ivory Coast, and then Parble in Liberia. And because of your gracious support, previously we had the support of Lutheran Church of Hope, and also in May we had the support of Sully Christian Reformed Church, a generous gift. We have a balance of $11,900. We'll need a little bit more to complete those last two churches, and then we want to help furnish those churches. So that offering on December 8th will be more about helping to furnish all four of the churches that we hope to complete, so nearing about $7,000. So thank you again, and we're just so grateful for your continued support and prayers for this ministry, and look forward to what God has planned for future kinds of ministry as well. So thank you.
I'm going to invite you to stand and receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh.
just a promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Safe to shore. Promise you will carry me safe to shore.